Greetings, Calvary members and friends. This is Pastor Walton with this week's sermon from the book of Zephaniah. As we have been journeying in this book, Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, and chapter 2, verse 3. Certainly, I do hope that you and your families are well. Know that we are praying with you and for you as we're praying for everybody at a time like this with the coronavirus. The word of God reads, I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will cut off every trace of Baal from this place, the names of the idolatrous priests with the pagan priests, those who worship the host of heaven on the housetops, those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but who also swear by Milcom, those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. And then chapter 2, verse 3, we find these words, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing, understanding and application of his holy word. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, please let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue now with our Lenten sermon series on the book of Zephaniah. Sermon 1 was entitled, A Great Opportunity. Sermon 2 was entitled, How We Are to Live at a Time Like This. And then Sermon 3 is entitled, The Process of Restoration. Our mission here at Calvary Baptist Church, as you know, is the Great Commission, which reads from Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and do what? Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world or the earth. And our vision, as we know, is a story of Joseph, found in the pages of Genesis, Genesis 37, chapter 37 through chapter 50. And we end up specifically in chapter 50 and 20. This is not our text, but I'm using it as an introduction. Specifically chapter 50 and 20, which says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. We normally stop there, and that is the end of our actual vision scripture. But today I want you to look, if you look at that next verse in Genesis 50 and 21, it says, so then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he, Joseph, reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Through this crisis known as COVID-19 or the coronavirus, God is still sovereign. Through the pain, the death, the mourning, suffering, and fear, God is still a loving and compassionate God. Amen. We see this in the life of Joseph and his brothers. They hated him. They were jealous and envious of him. They hated him, sold him into slavery. Years later, when he could have had them killed, he forgave them. We see this also in the book of Zephaniah, where we are. Now we come to Zephaniah. The southern Israelite kingdom, this is the background, the southern Israelite kingdom of Judah had prostituted herself to Assyrian gods after Israelite kings had made a deal, after they had been invaded, and they made a deal that Assyria would not likewise invade Judah. However, Assyria's envoys and their vassals, etc., were there. And because of that, Judah was infected with the worship of false gods. They had forgotten all that God had done for them. God, even though God is a compassionate and loving God, God is also a God of wrath, and God is also a jealous God. And because God loves us so much, God does not want us to go in ways that are not going to be good for us. And so in the first chapter of Zephaniah, God calls Judah through his prophet to repent. That means to turn away from. As a group, they had moved away from Almighty God. Yet, and the book of Zephaniah is kind of rough, it's kind of scary, but we know that even with all the warning and the woe in Zephaniah, that God still promises to restore his people at the end of the book. For we see it detailed in chapter 3 where it says that God rejoices over his people. And I want to let somebody know that no matter what we're going through right now, no matter what the purposes of God happen to be, I believe it's a wake-up call in many, many ways from God. God letting us know that he is still God. But no matter what, God always has the best in mind for us. He is not setting us up to fail. He is setting us up for success. Well, what was going on in the first and second chapters of Zephaniah, where our text is today? We've already just now talked about chapter 3, but what was going on in chapters 1 and 2? The people of Judah in chapter 1 and 2 were denying that they had sinned. Even though they were the covenant people of God, they knew all of that law, etc. They knew the first 5 books of the Bible. They knew all of that, and they were God's covenant people, so they knew better. Elizabeth Achtermeyer, Old Testament scholar, in her book on Zephaniah, says that the main problem that Judah had was that they did not have sense enough to be ashamed for the sin that they had committed. That's a whole lot in just a few words. It's just like today, when people not only sin, but fail to call it what it is. And we've all done that, have we not? They just want to be their own small g gods. That's the message in chapter 2 and in the 3rd verse from Zephaniah. That's why the message in chapter 2, excuse me, in the 3rd verse from Zephaniah is that the people ought to seek the Lord. And that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be seeking the Lord. But because God is so compassionate, God wanted to restore them even though they had sinned. Zephaniah is a book not only about historic times, but about end times. It's preparing us for the end. And in times like these, people are thinking a lot and talking a lot about the end, and they're thinking a lot about their mortality. And this is why, even in this terrible time, we as believers have a golden opportunity to witness for Christ in the places where we live, the places where we occupy, etc., the relationships that we have. We ought to be witnessing for Christ. We ought to be listening to the Holy Spirit so he can tell us what it is that we ought to be doing. We know that as Christians, there is a process to restoration. For example, you see somebody, they're not saved, they're going through a difficult time in life, and they want help, etc. You pray, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. It's not just about presto change-o and God is going to help you. No, the process is all wrapped up in what Jesus did when he died for us on Calvary. John 3:16, now let us not forget justification, regeneration, and sanctification. This is a hotbed time right now to be able to share with folk how they might be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world, in verse 17, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Might be saved. The only way to be restored is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for us. Restoration, our restoration, is possible because of justification. Jesus died in our place. Restoration only takes place through regeneration, that is, taking advantage of our justification, which is accepting Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. And then restoration is only feasible, is only possible through sanctification, because it is through this lifelong process that we learn to walk closer with Christ individually. Acta Meyer in her writing says, and I quote, "Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord is Zephaniah's call. For in turning to God, the people will acknowledge that they themselves are not gods and that they are dependent on the one, capital O, on the one who is really God and Lord of their lives." That seeking and turning will yield three results. Number one will yield humility, being humble before God. Number two, it will yield the result of obedience. All of the Bible can be summed up in one word, obedience. We will either obey God or we won't. And then number three, righteousness before God. On our own, our righteousness is as filthy rags, but through the blood of Jesus, that's how we have righteousness, through the blood of Jesus. As I get ready to close, Zephaniah wants not only Judah to yield to God, his heart aches for all of Israel. And our heart should ache for all of the United States of America. Our heart should ache for all of Milwaukee, folks who are not saved. And it reminds me of Romans 10:1, where Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire for Israel is that they may be what? May be saved." That should be our earnest desire for the people in this country right now, today, and in this world. The main and primary thing is that people might come into a saving knowledge, relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is this individual restoration. God does not save in groups, my sisters and brothers. He saves individually. It is this individual restoration with God that leads to restoration of the family unit. And that's what our vision is, rebuilding families. The family unit is the building block of the church. The church was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. The church belongs to Jesus. It is the confession of faith that makes us the church. It is not assembling in sanctuaries that makes us the church, my sisters and brothers. And actually, this is a good exercise for us to realize that we don't have to come together once a week or twice a week or three times a week in order to be the church. Scripture records that in Matthew 16 and 13, that Jesus one time asked the question, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter responded to Jesus, "Thou art the Christ." I love it. I don't know about you. "The Son of the living God." But that was not the end of the dialogue. And that's what I want to lift up today. Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but who? My Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." On the confession, that the confession is what the rock was. The rock is the confession. On this rock, the confession of Jesus Christ as the Christ, as the Savior of the world, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. And I want to let you know that that includes the coronavirus. The gates of the coronavirus shall not prevail against the church of the living God. Yes, through COVID-19, through this coronavirus, we may not be able to assemble like we are accustomed to, but my sisters and brothers, we are still the church. We may not be able to pray as we are used to praying and coming together and praying at the altar because we got social distancing and no more than 10 of us can be in a room at the same time. But I came by today to tell you that we are still the church. We miss the fellowship and handshake and hug, and we pray that one day we'll be able to return to that. But even though we can't do that right now, I want to let you know, no matter where you are in your living room, wherever you are in your car, wherever you happen to be right now, we are still the church because we have confessed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Oh, today I want to go old school. I hear the words of that great reformer, Martin Luther, when he penned the words of a famous hymn, which says, "The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. We are the bride of Christ, church. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died." Let me pray with you. Our Father and our God, we just come before you today. And we pray, Father, for our country. We pray for our world. We pray for the city of Milwaukee. We pray for our neighborhoods. We pray for our families. We pray for ourselves. We pray, oh God, that we might be like bright lights in a dark time, sharing the testimony and the witness for Jesus Christ, so that men, women, boys, and girls might be saved. We pray in the name of Jesus, your anointing, your grace, your covering, your protection over us now. We pray that many, many people might be saved, even through this conflict, that you would help those who are sick, that you would aid those who are going through financial difficulties, that you would just have your way, that you would be glorified in the city of Milwaukee, through the state of Wisconsin, throughout this country and this world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody who agreed said, amen. God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you.